What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go paper-tarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
The United States is at war.
We know what we have to face, and we are ready to face it.
I'm fighting to make women equal.
The president needs to get his wife under control.
It's time all these little chocolate girls know that their lives matter too.
Sometimes you have to forget politics, do the right thing, and trust the rest.
The playoffs have arrived, and there's a ton of action every night, and you can get into even more playoff action with DraftKings Sportsbook.
This week, new customers can bet $5 on any team to win and get $150 in free bets instantly. You win no matter what.
All DraftKings Sportsbook customers can also bet during the first round with same-game parlays.
We're back this week with another All the Smoke same-game parlay. We've come one leg away from hitting each week, but I can feel a win this week.
Head over to the DraftKings Sportsbook app now to see who we're riding with this week.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code SMOKE. Bet $5 on any NBA team to win that game during the playoffs and get $150 in free bets instantly. That's promo code SMOKE at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Welcome back, All the Smoke, 420 edition. Yes, sir. Jack, what's good?
I'm full of these burgers I just had.
Shout out to Vern.
And I had that big old blunt I had after that, so.
It's 420, bro.
Yeah,
that's what you're
supposed to do. Just bear with me, y'all.
Man, we got a very special guest today, a pioneer in the cannabis space, but also an amazing athlete. Welcome to the show, Ricky Williams.
What up?
Man,
what's up,
welcome.
My brother?
Yeah, good to be here, man.
Thanks for being here.
Hey, we rolled him up some of this Bon Bons, this Seven Leaves Bon Bon, so we're all enjoying this Seven Leaves Bon Bon on this special 420 episode. Man, what is the present day looking like for Ricky Williams these days?
I mean, a lot of this.
Okay.
A lot of smoking and a lot of talking.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple businesses, so I wake up and handle like business stuff, and then the afternoons, my like side hustle is I do professional astrology readings, and so I talk to people like three people a day.
So you read cards?
I read cards, but more I read astrology charts.
Okay.
So people give me their birth information, and then I look at where the stars and the planets were when they were born, and just try to give them some insight.
How long does that take? Because I want to do that shit after the episode.
Yeah, I mean.
No, that's dope. Yeah. What got you into that?
So back in 2004, when I retired from football, I just started traveling around the world, and I met this lady. She started talking to me about shit, and it just like, I was lost. It just blew my mind and gave me some direction. And so I said, like, whatever that is, I need to, like, get some of that.
Tap into it.
Yeah.
That's dope. With the NFL draft around the corner, are you still locked into football at all? You pay attention at all? Or you kind of removed yourself from that?
You know, if it's on, I can't help but be all the way in it.
Okay.
But I don't watch it that much.
Uh-huh.
It's funny. I was watching the Super Bowl with my wife.
Uh-huh.
And we got married after I finished football. And so she never really seen me watch sports. And so the game was on, and I just was so locked in. She was like, who are you?
What's going on?
Yeah. Who's this person?
Yeah. Do you miss it at all? Obviously, you know, we're going to get into how decorated your career was. You chose to step away, obviously, a little sooner than you could have. But miss it at all? Obviously, you say when you watch, you're still locked in. Thoughts on just the sport as a whole?
You know what I miss and what I loved about it was one place I could go every day and I could just like put it all on the table and just everything, and it wasn't too much.
Right.
And I miss that.
Mm-hmm.
Where everyone is aligned with the same goal and no excuses, just get to work and get it done. I miss that.
Yeah. Talk to us about your upbringing in San Diego. What was that like?
So I guess like a lot of people that grew up in time I grew up, my parents split up. And really, my mom was more like a dad anyway. And so I just had like a mom that was just about it.
Super mom.
Yeah, like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just taught me how to be tough. And above everything, she just taught me that life ain't gonna be fair. Don't expect it to be. Make the most of every situation.
It's my mom, similar the same way. Like, so having a strong mother like that at a young age, did you have to change your decision making?
Nope, because my mom's thing was, she wasn't like, don't do stuff. She was like, if you do something, like, be smart enough to get away with it. And if you're not, like, take your lumps and learn.
Yeah.
And so it just was really an attitude that allowed me just to go for it.
Right. It's been said that even at an early age, you had a profound outlook on life as being an adventure. Talk about that.
That's just from church, I think.
Yeah.
You know, just going to church. And I was one of those kids where I just was always locked in. And so whatever the preacher was saying, whether he was living it or people were living it, I was locked in.
Yeah.
And so, like I say, my first role model, just because I was exposed to him every week, was Jesus.
Mm.
And the idea, like, he really didn't care what people thought. He just was willing to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked that up and I tried to live that out in my life.
It's not a bad role model to have.
Yeah. Church started to become an issue when I got, like, 15, and they started talking about that, wait till you get married. I was like, wait a minute. I don't know.
When did sports and martial arts come into play?
Early. I remember in kindergarten, we had this teacher, and she was really big into fitness. And so she would make us run 2 laps around the field. And I remember the first day, I was like, man, I don't feel like. But then after 2 days, I just got curious, like, what if I was the first one like to finish? What that would feel like? And I just took off. I never stopped, no.
After that.
Got that feeling that I realized I could do something, or something that I could be the best at, and I just leaned into it.
That's a hell of a feeling.
Yeah.
Patrick Henry High School in San Diego. We got another San Diego guy behind the camera. What school did you go to, big fella?
The Saints.
St. Augustine. Football and baseball were the two sports in high school you chose to run with. Tell me what you loved about each of them.
Okay, what I love, so baseball was my first love. Mm. Growing up in San Diego watching Tony Gwynn, I thought I was going to be like the next Tony Gwynn. And my my stepdad was, he was Panamanian, and he just loved baseball. So it just was like, he taught me how to play baseball, right. And it just was that thing. Because my mom told me when I was 7, she said, you are going to college, and I am not paying for it.
Straight up.
So I knew I was had to do something, but I thought it would be baseball. Kept playing. Football came along. I started playing when I was 8th grade. I just was so much better. It just
always, man. A running back?
I love playing defense too. But on like offense, always. Yeah, I love to hit.
I can see you, big, strong, thick ass out there popping people.
Exactly.
Yeah. You end up taking a scholarship to Texas. What other colleges were in play at the time?
I pretty much could have gone to any college. I took my recruiting trips to Berkeley.
Seems like you would have fit into Berkeley. That wasn't your thing?
You know, so I decided when I was a kid I wanted to be a professional baseball player.
Okay.
But I decided I wanted to be a college football player. So my whole thing about was a college football experience.
Gotcha.
So I took a trip to SC, close to going to SC, took a trip to Texas, Notre Dame. And at the end of the day, Texas just, you know, I was looking for the program where they were almost on top and they just needed a couple missing pieces and I could be that missing piece. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was looking for it. I knew I had to start as a freshman. I knew if I was on the bench, like if I had a red shirt, I wouldn't make it.
You had to go in and play.
Yeah.
Straight up. I feel that. San Diego has a rich history of Heisman Trophy winners. When you were able to bring that home, what did that mean for you?
It's interesting. We have four Heisman Trophy winners.
So you,
all running backs.
Reggie Bush, Marcus Allen.
And Rashawn Salaam.
Rashawn Salaam.
Yeah.
He was a Husky, right?
He was a Buffalo. He's a Buffalo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Colorado. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But what did that mean? Obviously, such a rich history of great running backs from that area, and you were able to continue to carry on that tradition.
No, it might sound cheesy, but it was one of those things where I reflected back on all the people that helped me get to that place, and just reflected on my upbringing and how when I was a kid I had dreams and realized all the people that had to show up to help me achieve those. Mm-hmm. And that was just one of those moments where I accomplished something, and I knew I had to do the work, but just realizing how many other people it took to help me get there. Yeah, and feeling like hoping that all the people, you know, because I was a knucklehead sometimes when I was a kid. A lot of people had to let me slide and forgive me and give me second chances. And just thinking of, you know, all those people, hopefully at that moment when they saw me receiving the trophy, that they felt like they were part of it.
Right, that's special. 95 to 97, you played minor league baseball with the Phillies. What was that like?
It was horrible. It was horrible. but it helped me grow up, though.
Okay.
It helped me grow up.
So this is what you're out of high school?
So I left even 3 days before I graduated from high school. I got on a plane and flew to Martinsville, Virginia, which is this tiny little town in Virginia. And I was 18. I was in the South staying with this dude named Bobby and Pumpkin in this house. It was culture shock, and I was just homesick. It was hard, but it helped me grow up a lot. Because minor league baseball, you make $850 a month, and it's you're living with other
it's a grind. What was the baseball? How was the baseball part?
I struggled.
Do you think mentally, because it was such an adjustment mentally that you struggled, obviously on the actual sports side of it?
Yeah, if I'm being real, you know, I'm kind of a sensitive person, and so if I don't feel comfortable in my surroundings, then I don't act right. But if I feel comfortable, I can handle anything. And so it just took me a while to figure out what that sweet spot is for me. Yeah, baseball again. It was rough, but I grew up because I went from minor league baseball straight to my freshman year playing football. And then I would go back to baseball and then back to football. So I would go from, you know, everybody being the best to, you know, just being a dude on a bus, swinging the bat. So it kept me humble.
Humble, yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Who were you cool with any of the basketball players when you were in Texas?
I was.
Who were you cool with?
I was cool when I was in school with Chris Clack.
Chris Clack,
yeah, that was my boy.
So I played against him in the state championship. My junior year.
Yeah.
Chris Clack.
Yeah.
He went to Austin Anderson.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
That's dope.
Also, Reggie. You know Reggie Freeman?
Reggie Freeman, yeah. Reggie Freeman too. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a senior when I got there.
Did you know BJ Tyler?
I did. I sure did, yeah.
So we from the same hometown.
Okay.
Port Arthur, Texas.
Okay.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. We had a James Brown. our quarterback was from Port Arthur.
Yep.
Despite being a high first round projected pick in 98, you decided to go back to school for your senior year. What made that jump in a time? Actually, you were a little early, but everyone is so eager to jump now. You actually decided to go back and finish.
Like I said, when I was a kid, my goal wasn't even really to go to the NFL. It was to be a college football player. But I'm not going to lie. After I had my junior, I led the nation in rushing and scoring. I was thinking like going to the next level. And then I was sitting in our media guy's office, and he had one of those almanacs on his desk. And so I started flipping through it, and I flipped through to the record for all-time leading rusher in college football history. And I looked, and I saw, like, damn, if I have a similar year that I had last year, I could be, like, the most ever.
Damn.
And I flipped a couple pages to touchdowns, and same thing. I was like, I got the. Then I went to all-purpose yards, did the math. I was like, okay, if I come back, I knew it was a risk. If I come back and have the same kind of year, you know, I could like break all these records.
It's within reach.
Yeah, and I couldn't. I couldn't
That's
pass
hard
that
to
up.
Pass
yeah,
up.
I couldn't pass it
so
up.
What was it like? Obviously, the college experience itself, but then knowing what was on the line, really studying it, and knowing what's on the line your senior year. What was that senior year like with all the attention you received?
You know, for real, it's when I started smoking. That's when it all started, because I came back, everything on the line. I was focused, and within the first couple of weeks. I had a bad game against Kansas State, and I found out that my girl for like 2 years was like messing with the quarterback on the team.
On your team or on the other team?
On my team.
Oh, fuck.
The dude handed me the ball. So I was sick. And I was trying to be like the better person and not make a big deal and like mess up the whole season. Right. But at the same time, I remember sitting there at home after the game. I was just like, why the fuck did I come back for this shit? Mm. Like, you know, my mind started
to go. This is early in the season.
Early in the season. Okay. My mind started going to like, I should have left. And my homeboy, like, he's a smoker. And he's like, dude, you just need to chill. He slid his bong over. I hit it. And it was, I had smoked a little bit, but it was the first time where I noticed that it took my mind off of obsessing about the bullshit. And I started thinking like about the next game,
mm-hmm.
and no lie, back to back 300 yard rushing games.
After that, the first time.
Yeah.
See, and I love that. Obviously, we're going to get into it. You were really a pioneer in this space as far as just kind of being out forward with it. But to see where medicating is in sports today, and kind of knowing after that first bong hit, that shit really changed your life.
Yeah.
Easy to say.
Yeah. Oh, I mean,
throughout your career, knowing you needed that, how do you look at today's current policy for current athletes?
I think it's changing, thank goodness. But you just said I needed it. And so when I got into the league.
Was that the right word?
Yeah, that was the right word.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. So I got in the league, and when I first got in the league, I wasn't really smoking that much. I smoke every once in a while with the guys. But we were only being tested one time a year, and it was in training camp when I was with the Saints. And so I never had an issue. And then I my third year, I kept getting hurt. And so I would start smoking a little bit more when I was hurt. And then I got traded to Miami, and then I started smoking a lot. And nobody told me that in Miami they drug test in the off season. So I came to work one day, and they were like, you know. And then they put me in the program. And when they put you in the program, they test you 9 times a month, and you got to talk to like a therapist for 2 years.
Some of those.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. So they put me in the program, and at first I was like, "It's cool. I mean, I don't need to smoke. It's cool, you know." Then after about like 3 weeks, I was like, "Damn!" I was like, "I can't do this shit if I ain't like taking care of myself."
Right.
And so I started to find a way to like smoke and still pass the drug test. So, what I think to me, especially football, but I really all sports. If we're you know, what we do to our bodies, I think leagues need to give us all reasonable means to take care of ourselves. And that's beside the conversation of how much better this is than the pharmaceuticals.
Right.
No question.
Right.
Yeah. No question.
No, I completely understand that.
1999 draft, the infamous trade, the Saints trade, every single pick they have. I mean, the mascot, the concession stand, they trade everybody for the boy. Talk about that.
I mean, I was honored, but at the same time, I wanted to be the number one pick, so
yeah.
I was kind of salty. But I mean, they're still telling the story now. So that's the positive side of
it. They gave up headsets, coolers.
They gave up all those picks and the first pick for the next year. I wouldn't have done it.
if you're being honest.
Yeah, I would have done it.
I wouldn't have done it. I mean, yeah. if he would have come to me and said, I'm thinking about making this trade, I would have said, don't do it. I said, don't do it.
Yeah.
I said, don't do it.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Knowing all that and everyone else knowing all that, your team knowing all that, how hard did that make it tough coming into training camp and kind of your first taste of the pros, or was it smooth?
It made it tough in the sense that there was just all this like extra stuff on top of that, it's not necessary to me. What I loved about the game was like practice. When you go on practice or when the game starts, everything is focused. Mm-hmm. What I hated about all the other stuff that happens
outside of it.
Yeah, to me, it's like if I'm doing my job on the field, like, what does it matter?
Right, that's what you're paying me to do.
Yeah,
especially when I'm not really, I'm chilling. I'm not out there fucking going crazy and doing all this other shit. I'm in my house medicating.
Exactly.
Staying out the way. Mm. No Limit Sports. How did that happen?
So,
Hey, we trying to get Pete, too. I texted him this morning. I was like, yo, we have Rick on the show, man. We need you to come through, too. But you talk to us about what that experience was like.
Buy a whole pound of some Master P.
Yeah.
I'm a Romeo, little Romeo.
Yeah. It was a lesson. You know, for me, I saw it as an opportunity to do something different. And when I came into the league and all the agents, you know, typical agents coming at me, it just felt like slimy. Mm. And this dude, Terry Rito, like the runner for No Limit Sports, like he became like an uncle to me. And we just came real tight. Like I could tell him anything.
Right.
And just he just really helped me navigate that process. So when the relationship fell through with my agent, and I was looking for finding a new agent, I was like, since I have this kind of familiar relationship,
right,
and
sense.
I feel like these people, that it just makes sense. I didn't realize everyone would have like an opinion about it. You know, I thought it was an opportunity to say, like, we keep looking to these kinds of people to take care of us when there's other types of people out there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just starting No Limit Sports, and I thought, landed me, like, this could be
right.
an opportunity to change something.
Help grow his company, too. Yeah. So how was your experience with it? Like you said, it was a learning experience.
It was wonderful. You know, I was fortunate because all of this happened before the draft.
Okay.
And so, you know, P being from New Orleans, it was on.
Uh-huh.
It was on. And I felt, in a sense, when I first got to New Orleans, I did feel like a familial kind of sense because they were just down in Baton Rouge and they were deep. So I felt like I was part of the No Limit family. I had my chain and everything.
Hey, they were a movement.
Yeah.
They were a whole movement.
And then when it came down to the actual contract negotiation, I took control. And this was on me. I told my agent what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And again, for me, I saw it as an opportunity
Explain
to make a statement.
Explain it. For all the people that don't know, what did
you? So what I said is my agent came back to me and basically he had three different deals. What I told him going in is I said, I want to be paid for my performance. I said, because I'm the only draft pick that there's a certain like rookie pool of the max amount of money that they can give. I said, just give me that like max amount that they can give me for what I've done in the past. But moving forward, I want my
performance-based. Uh-huh.
And my agent said, well, you could get hurt and all that stuff. I said, I don't care. And he said, look, I'm going to go and negotiate three contracts. One that what you want, one of what I think most guaranteed money, and then we'll do something in the middle. And he tried to convince me to take that one in the middle, but I said, no. I said, I want the one that only pays me if I, like, kill it.
Well, that makes sense because that's what the youngsters, y'all need to pay attention because your agent works for you. You don't work for him. So that's how it's supposed to be anyway.
But then, unfortunately, you got hurt, though, right?
Yeah, I got hurt, though.
Talk to us about that process.
My whole career from Pop Warner all the way to I never missed a game. So I wasn't even thinking about what if I get hurt. And so first preseason game, I get a high ankle sprain. And I consider myself one of those guys that just plays through. And so I missed a couple games in the preseason. I was just barely ready for the first game, wrapped up that ankle, went out, re-injured it the first quarter, okay? So came out, but I got myself right for the next game. Again, wrapped up, last play of the game, quarterback throws me the ball, I'm running down the field, dislocate my elbow, okay?
Mm.
So I got the ankles just starting to get better, now I got the dislocated elbow. Thank God we had a bye week, so I rehabbed, and I was ready for that next week. Put on the ankle brace, the elbow brace, and I toughed it out for like 5 weeks until I finally got healthy. Then I started having 100-yard games, and then I got a turf toe, and I missed 4 games.
People don't understand how bad turf toe is.
Then I missed four games.
I had to have surgery on my turf toe.
Man.
Like, that shit is no joke.
Yeah.
But all this you played through, so what you feel like, obviously cannabis played a huge part in obviously the mental, but then also the recovery part in that
too?
No,
the truth though, if I was smoking more earlier in my career, I think I could have avoided a lot of these injuries. Because when I started smoking, I didn't get hurt anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
The recovery, yeah.
It's the recovery, but I think even more so is just getting your mind right. Because most of the time people get hurt, it's like you're not dialed in.
Right.
You're not dialed in.
I was someone who smoked day of the game. Were you someone similar or night before? How did you intake?
I mean, I was always after
okay.
the game.
Okay, that's what he was.
Because two things. One, I wasn't smoking enough to have my tolerance at that level where
you.
I felt comfortable.
Yeah.
And two, I just think the stigma, it didn't even occur to me. I don't know if you guys have had this moment, but I had this moment. I was in Jamaica, visiting where Bob was born, his birthplace. And I was with his younger brother, and his brother was saying Bob used to go to that rock up there and read the Bible. And I was like, you can smoke and read the Bible. I had that moment like where something that's supposed to be good for you and something that's supposed to be bad for you, how they could come together. Mm-hmm. And I just was like, damn. So I got my Bible, got my spliff, went up there, smoked. And I like, that's when I had that moment. Mm. That's what I had.
How old were you at that point?
27. It was right before, it was like a week before I retired. And so like, I think smoking, I had a day at practice when I was playing. I played a year in Canada. Mm-hmm. And I broke my ankle. And messed up my arm, so I was in rehab. And the guys, and I was just coming back though, and the guys were driving to practice and they were passing a blunt around. And I was just like, I'm not playing. So I was like, I'll smoke before practice. I had the most amazing like practice ever. I didn't feel my pain. I felt like I was a kid again out there just balling.
Right.
So I got it, but it was late.
Too late. Yeah, damn. So yeah, I was someone who, because like I said, I think you said it perfectly. Like it locks it calms the outside noise, and you lock in on what your job is supposed to be.
Yeah,
and that's the ultimate focus.
Mike Dicker.
Yes.
ESPN magazine cover.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
Dan Le Batard worked for ESPN at the time. He's writing for ESPN the magazine, and we become close. And he reached out and he said they want to do a piece for the cover of you and Dicker. And so we went back and forth for like 2 months throwing different ideas around about the picture. And then one day Dan called and he said, like, what about you in a wedding dress and Dicka in a tux? Like, you guys are getting married. And I was on my phone in the car and I laughed. And I said, that'd be funny. I was like, yeah. But then when I got there that day, I was like. And then when it came out and the media had it, then it really wasn't funny.
Right.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, if that was today, boy. Ooh, he said, at first I laughed, but then I got there and it wasn't funny. Yeah.
When I had to put the dress on and realize what was going on.
What was happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. God damn. Obviously, you spoke of someone who was never injured until you got to the pros. When you're in the pros and you get injured, the first thing they want to do is pump you full of all kinds of different
bullshit.
Opioids and shit that is masking one problem and causing long-term effects on the other side. Talk to us about that process, because I know you've been very vocal with the recovery of it, but just also the whole overall process.
Yeah. Well, I remember one day I was sitting in the training room before practice, and I was watching each of the guys come in for practice to get the Toradol shot. And I started doing the math. Like, I was like, if someone plays 8-10 years and they have to do this every day for practice, like, what is this doing?
For practice.
What is this doing to our bodies?
And real quick, I don't want to cut you off. Please remember your thought. Toradol is so strong that when I was with the Clippers going into the playoffs, I got hit by Dwight Howard and had a minor tear in my shoulder, so in my shooting arm. So during the whole round, like during the week, I couldn't barely lift my arm. I'm doing rehab to lift my arm. I'll take the Toradol shot 2 hours before the game, and I'm totally fine. Totally fine.
People, like, you go,
unbelievable.
You go to practice without Toradol, you feel like you're 85 years old.
I couldn't imagine doing it in practice. I had it in the game. I felt like Superman. That's the year we beat San Antonio in the first round. In that last play, I blocked Kawhi. That was my hurt shoulder that the day before I couldn't even lift.
Yeah, yeah. So it's real. So I understood why, but I was doing the math, and I said, I got to find, like, some other way to take care of myself.
Destroys your liver, too.
And I just started smoking more and then finding, like, how to take care of myself. Like, I spent a little bit more time stretching. And also, though, is when I smoked and stretched, I, like, was really getting in there. Like,
yeah.
And focus, really, like, yeah.
You have a different focus.
Yeah.
How many years did you play?
11.
At what point in your career did you kind of say, I'm leaving this prescribed medicine from the league behind and solely smoking cannabis, or was it always a balance of both?
It was a balance up until that moment I just told you about. Uh-huh. But after that, I mean, I might have taken something. Like, I had to be in a lot of pain before I would take something. So, and I was probably 6 or 7 years in, but I started taking care of myself, and I didn't spend any time in the training room, and the trainer just left me alone because they were like, whatever you're doing is
working. And I think a running back, you get hit the most.
Exactly.
Whether you're blocking or running, that's a beautiful thing. Damn.
See, I think in the long term, like, if these sports teams start to support players using cannabis, it's going to save them a lot of money.
Point blank, that simple.
What do you think about high profile athletes now, not necessarily coming out and hey, I'm out here smoking, but knowing that they do use it, and there's kind of a perception now that they're starting to realize, like, okay, the best players are actually using this too. What is your thought about that?
I mean, personally, I think that the players should be out there saying,
Yes. I agree.
I use this.
I agree.
Because, you know, what I found is so many people come up to me and they've said, you know, I was like, had an attitude about this and I was against it until like your story and,
right.
and I saw you. And because of that, I tried it and it helped me.
Right.
And so I think players coming out and being honest is just going to really help a lot of people get access to this that for whatever reason in their mind or whatever, they don't have access to it.
And stop worrying about what people think. And I think that's the biggest part. Like even me, I stopped smoking because I'm Muslim. But then again, I know I need it. And, but I know I'm one of the most righteous people alive. You know what I mean? And it's just got to get to the point where you do what's best for you and not worry about what people say. And I think that's why a lot of players don't come out and talk about it.
But I think a lot of it is misinformation.
Yep.
And what I've realized is when we were young, and so we'd hear people say, like, the war on drugs. Now that I'm older and I've gone back and, like, just studied a little bit, it really was a war.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally, like, our this mighty government militarized against cannabis.
Yep.
Militarized. And you think of, like, in any war, there's always a lot of casualties. And it takes a long time to heal. But if we go like pre-drug war and we really understand the history of this plant, it was used by righteous people
right.
to help them achieve more righteousness.
Right.
Like that's what it was for. Mm-hmm. And I think we're remembering that, but we're doing it the hard way. Because
right.
we're, like at least for me, I became a better person when I started smoking.
I'm the best me when
my wife told me that, please hurry up back smoking.
She used to text me. Like,
yeah, she was texting him like that.
Can you get him back to smoke, please? Because he's not the same person.
Facts.
No, it's needed.
You traded to Miami in 2002 and led the league in rushing for your first year. You almost had 800 carries. For the first 2 years. Both of the seasons, you are top 20 for most carries by a running back in the season. Now, that's a lot of wear and tear on your body. In the NFL, carrying that many times, and we know how you run. I just told the people before that's going to get the little preview that we running over shit.
Yeah.
What was your mind frame?
The first year, when I led the league in rushing, I averaged 4.7 yards a carry. Mm. So, and that was great.
Yeah, absolutely.
The next year, I averaged 3.8 yards a carry. I had more carries, a lot less yards.
Mm-hmm.
That was not so good.
But they stacking the line up
because they were stacked. You know, it was they were stacking the line, but also like I see like in any sport when you have a player that not necessarily the best player, but the player that everyone is like thing is everything's built around. The other team knows if we stop him, we're gonna win.
Right.
You need the other guys on the team to realize that and step up their game to meet that kind of force.
Yep. Yep.
And I think the first year, the success kind of surprised everyone. And I think that second year, and you know, when you after you win and you go back, mm-hmm. you can't take it easy. Everybody's coming for you. So
right.
you got to like take your game to the next level to be able to meet that challenge. And I felt like as a team.
Everybody did.
We did it. And so I was taking the toll because everybody was like,
right.
they were teeing off on my ass.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Let's go again. One more.
One more.
Oh man. All right, look, bro.
Have you started spring cleaning yet? The carpets need cleaning, the drapes need dusting, and your lawn needs mowing.
Spring has sprung, and the global leaders in below-the-waist grooming have the best tools for cleaning aisle 5 in your pants.
Manscaped has the full package you need for spring cleaning this year. The Performance Package 4.0 is the only tool you need to keep your boys looking and smelling like fresh tulips that your partner wants.
To start off your spring cleaning, use the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer to get the most precise shave on your hedges. Did we mention it's waterproof as well? No need to worry about watering your grass with this tool. Equip with the LED light so you know it'll be a major asset in the new shower routine.
Clear your holes and smell the spring air with the Weed Whacker. This nose, ear, and hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs on those delicate holes.
After cleaning your nose, make sure you get rid of the fireball smell with the Crop Preserver and the Crop Reviver. The Crop Preserver is an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. The Crop Reviver, spray and toner for your balls.
Finish your grooming routine off with the Plow 2.0, the perfect razor for the finest shave on your face. Because if you use the Lawnmower 4.0 on your balls and your face, you're doing something wrong, my boys.
The start of spring also marks the start of Testicular Cancer Awareness Month in April. Manscaped has partnered with the Testicular Cancer Society to bring awareness to testicular cancer, men's health, and early cancer detection.
Manscaped is committed to raising awareness for the most common form of cancer in men ages 15 to 35 and giving support for our fighters, survivors, and families impacted by testicular cancer as a part of We Save Balls initiative.
Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code SMOKE at manscaped.com.
That's 20% off and free shipping with the code SMOKE at manscaped.com. It's time to throw out your old hygiene habits and upgrade your life.
As someone in your position, you're coming off leading the league. How does that take a toll on you? Because, I mean, that's a lot of the mental health that athletes are talking about. You just saw Kyrie yesterday kind of go in on fans. Like, what kind of toll did that take on you?
Well, I think it takes a toll, the fact that just in general, as a professional athlete, that people, like, they forget that we're human beings.
Still, they think because we make money that they can, that we don't have feelings.
Yeah. But on a deeper level, like, to me, it's like, you're the one paying money to watch us. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So there's probably something that we're doing that you could learn from. And so instead of, like, throwing shit at us, like, try to learn from us. Because whatever we're doing, you're, like...
You're a fan of.
Yeah, you'd rather spend time with us than your family.
Well, at some point, I had to figure out that it's people that are just fans of the sport, but then you got people that wish they could be you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's where we get the confusion at. You got people that really wish they had, like playing basketball, people that really had hoop dreams, that really wanted to be in the NBA, that played basketball. Oh, man.
Fuck whoever.
Did all that. So fuck everybody that played basketball that made it to the NBA. But then you got your fans that really love their team. I think the fact that they sitting together in the stadium, it's hard to separate the good fans and the bad fans.
Yeah, I agree.
Is it a coincidence that you just started failing drug tests around this time?
Well, I think the other question is, it a coincidence that I started leading the league in rushing?
Okay.
Because when I first got to Miami, that's when I really started smoking. And I remember I would come home after working out and I'd smoke, and I would like start to like visualize myself like just killing it, just killing it. And so I just had this. By the time the season came, I just had this knowing that it's like I was ready.
Yeah.
I was ready. Yeah. And so I think that had a lot to do with
the tree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot.
That's dope. I love that.
I mean, we can speak to that.
Yeah, no, I feel it.
I gotta be high, doing everything.
I agree.
There's no way though. I can do nothing without it.
You're preaching to the choir.
Yes.
Or would you? I mean, it's like
I can't.
It's better.
I can't. I'm sorry, y'all. I can't.
2004, you decided to retire. What? You were over everything. Where were you at mentally with that, and what made you come to that decision?
To smoke my tree in peace.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I feel like sometimes in life, like, the universe is trying to tell us something, mm-hmm. and sometimes we don't want to hear it, and it's got to, like, tell us really loudly. And so 2002, I led the NFL in rushing. 2003, I got my tore up. And so coming into the next season, I went to the 2004, I went to the Dolphins, and I said, like, if you're going to give me the ball, like, and expect me to do everything, like, you need to, like, take care of me and make sure that... Because I started to, like, think about the future and think, like, if I keep doing this, I'm not going to last very long. And, like, what am I going to have to show for it? So I said, like, if you're going to do this, I'm good with it, but help me feel good about doing
this.
Right. And their response, when they went to they came back with the business response. And for me, like, a business decision... Right, is my business decision is this is my only body and I have to find a way to take care of it. I need to feel good. That's my business.
Right.
I understand you got your business if you got salary cap and all that other stuff. Just the way they came back to me, I was like, okay, they don't really appreciate, they're taking me for granted.
Right.
And so already, I was like, okay. And then after having that year and thinking, I spent all my life trying to be the best football player I can be, and I realized that there's a lot more that goes into me being a good football player. And by being a good football player, I've been kind of like a not a good person in some ways. And it started to bother me. So I started to think about, like, what am I doing with my life? And what I felt was I need to, like, travel and see the world and do some shit because my heart's not in this right now. And then with the contract, and then all this other stuff started happening. So I just was like, I hear the message, it's time for me to go. Mm. So I bounced. It was just one of those things where... But I think, like, again, my dream as a kid was to make it as a college football player and then have some kind of platform where I could, like, tell people, like, what I think. Mm-hmm. And I got to the NFL and people were just like, shut up. We don't want to hear.
Shut up and run.
Yeah, we don't want to hear what you have to say. Just go run. And then I got to the point where I was like, I need to say something. But then I realized, because I've been chasing football my whole life, I don't really have anything to say. So I left and I started traveling, just having more experiences and meeting different people, and went back to school, started studying things I was really passionate about. Mm-hmm. So I learned. So I feel like I have actually something to say.
What was it like? Because obviously back then when you were doing it, the cannabis was the ultimate no.
Yeah.
So the media content starts to paint a picture of a bad person when, again, you've been explaining all the reasons why leading up to this. But how hard was that, having to deal with that on a daily basis?
You know, I was fortunate. A couple of things. You know, one, back in 2004, nobody, like, we weren't educated about cannabis the way we are now.
Right.
Like, outside of California and Oregon, nobody was talking about medicinal marijuana. And so I didn't have the language. And so when it first hit the news that failing a drug test was connected to my retirement, I had a friend of mine who was leaving the country. So I was like, yeah, let's go. So I didn't have to really deal with any of it because I was traveling around the world. And the funny thing is, I was traveling around the world, I kept meeting people who, like, smoked. And so I wasn't trying to run away from it, but I thought it was interesting that as I was, like, out and about, people didn't even know who I was, and I kept running into it. Mm-hmm. And I kept running into it in ways where people were talking about it in ways that I had never heard people talk about cannabis. And so when I ended up back in Northern California studying Ayurveda, which is Indian medicine, and I was looking through a book, and I came across a book, and it had a whole chapter on cannabis. And again, at that time, no one was talking about medicinal marijuana. And so I started to realize there's a lot more to this thing than what we've been told. And because I surrounded myself with those kinds of people, when I finally did have to deal with the media, I felt more supported. And so Mike Wallace from 60 Minutes came to Northern California where I was studying Ayurveda. And it was like that interview of we found Ricky. And one of the questions he asked straight up, he said, if the NFL drug tested you right now, would you pass the test? And I remember, you know, looking at him, and everything in my head was saying, lie, 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 lie. And something I just said, no, I would fail. And it was like, it was this moment where I was being real.
What year was this?
This was 2004. I was being, like, honest, and I was being real. And I knew I wasn't supposed to, but it felt, like, really liberating. Because I wasn't in the NFL. It felt like liberating to be able to, like, to tell my truth and not back down from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, like, that to me, that was a special moment in my life where I kind of said, I'm on this side. You know, I made a statement.
So what after that, I mean, that was kind of obviously a groundbreaking type of situation. What was the feedback on that? Because I always say, like, you were just ahead of your time. Like, if you came out and did that now, you would be leading.
Yeah.
Athletes in this space. I mean, you're obviously one of the top people, but to do it back in that time in 2004, once you kind of came out and told your truth, it was almost a weight lifted off your shoulders. What was it met with?
So, you know, it's funny, like, personally, it was the coolest thing in the world because, you know, I'd be out in the airport, I'd be hanging around. I remember I was in Sacramento at the airport, and I was kind of lived up there at the time. And some guy, like, it was that same feeling of when somebody recognizes me, but he was like, hey, I got something in my car. You want to come? And people would just come up to me and just give me weed. Like, so it was amazing. Like, the one-on-one dealing with people, I felt like I was more real to people, and there was something up for us to connect on a deeper level. And, you know, the NFL, I came back to the NFL partially because the Dolphins sued me for $8 million. But also the NFL kept asking me to come back.
Who won?
They won.
Did they?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. So I came back. And it was weird. I was still in the NFL drug program, but it was like nobody ever talked about it. And one time, somebody, one of the people in the media, we had like a bye week and we had a couple of days off. And he said, do you ever think about smoking weed? And I was just being honest. I was like, I think about that shit all the time. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of came up and it was like coach told me, like, you know, don't be a distraction. But other than that, everyone pretended like, pretend like it didn't happen. Yeah.
That's crazy. What did you really find out about yourself once you stepped away from football?
I think I found out that I was just a more spiritual person than I thought.
And that's what leads you into all the astrology stuff.
Exactly. I'm just really curious. I just want to figure shit out. Exactly. That's all I think about.
We'll be right back.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top of it.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR positive HER2 negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Where else did you get to travel? You said you traveled the world. Where are some of the favorite places you pit stopped at?
I love Thailand.
It's beautiful out there, huh?
Yeah. Australia was cool because it's different, but everybody speaks English. So it was different enough, but it still felt familiar enough.
In your travels, who had the best grass?
Good question.
I mean, obviously, Amsterdam. But Hawaii, surprisingly.
Yeah, they got Maui.
We were there.
Yeah.
We were there.
Hawaii, that was a whole nother, like, I don't know if it was that batch or if it's across the board, but I had
some fire out there.
Yeah.
It was funny because we used to go to Amsterdam in the off season, me and some guys that are still playing. But they said they get a majority of their weed from California.
Yeah.
Northern California in particular. Yeah.
You bounced back in the league in 2005, right? But you're still dealing with the NFL drug policy. Back and forth, back and forth. What was that like?
It was stressful.
I know.
It was stressful.
You just want to smoke and chill.
Yeah.
Well, you said at one point you learned how to be tested and still. Was this during that time?
I went through different phases. Like the first time I got into the program, I found this drink. Okay. And
ours is called liquid. We used to use something
ours
called liquid.
Like extra clear or something.
Okay.
Like that. And you gotta drink it, and then you wait 15 minutes, drink a bottle of water, 15 minutes, drink a bottle of water, and then your piece
goes out.
I'm clean for 5 hours.
You got a window, but you gotta keep peeing.
Yes, you gotta keep peeing. Yeah.
We're giving away our secrets. We've never talked about this. This is the first time. Our shit used to be liquid.
That's what got me though, is that the time that I got popped the second time is I went out, we lost to the Eagles and we got knocked out of the playoffs. And I just was like, went too hard that night. And so he would come at 6 o'clock in the morning. So I wake up at 5, do the drink.
It's the process.
And I fell back asleep.
You didn't get the piss off.
I didn't get the piss off.
Yeah,
and
you got to get
it. I just barely failed too.
You got to get at least 3 to 4 peas out before you're clear.
Yeah.
So that was it. So,
that's how he got me.
So speaking of your shit, so when I was in the program with the Clippers and got traded to Memphis and the P-Man was coming once a week. So I would be clean all week. He would come, knew him by name. I did know his name. I forgot the shit. But I'd be clean all week. And then the day he tests me, I'll smoke the entire day and then try to get clean the whole entire week. And I'd be able to take my drink
That was my second. Yeah. That was my second way. The second time when I came back, it was only once a week.
And
then I got to the point where I realized I could take 3 hits and pass the test the next day.
Oh.
3 hits and pass the next day.
So you would just drink a bunch of water?
No, I wouldn't even just because I was like as an athlete, we're
cycling so much.
The cannabis when it comes out, it's because it's stored. But if you don't smoke enough to store it,
it doesn't sit.
Then it doesn't sit.
Yeah.
So you was microdosing before microdosing.
Yeah. But because I was in the program, a microdose worked. You know, when you're only doing like 3 hits,
not
couple
as
times,
much.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
They get you where you need to be.
Exactly.
I didn't have that power.
You all the way in?
I'm going until I go to sleep.
That's how I was that day.
I'm in the coma.
I had some shit shipped up from Cali, and every once a week, I get to smoke once a week, so I'd burn it down like 2-3 joints. I'd probably pass out in my chair. It was on the regular. Wake up and just, I had to get it in me.
Yeah.
We've never talked about that, because I never wanted to bust no one out, but since they don't test for it no more, because everyone used to say, what'd you used to take? And we used to have to tell it, but it was liquid from GNC. Or when they didn't have liquid, I would just say, yo, I'd be real with the dude. I'm like, I got to pass a pee test. What do you recommend? What's the hardest cleanser you have? And they would give it to you. But you would feel like shit, though, because you had to take that drink. I just used to drink a bunch
nasty.
Of water.
Yeah. Nasty.
I used to have my trainers. I used to drop some of my trainers some bread to give me a heads up, like because they got to a point where we were doing 4 randoms during the season. We didn't know when it was coming. 4 randoms during the season.
K-Row.
This is not even in the program, though. This is just regular.
Wow.
4 random tests. So I would always, you know, I'd get some of my trainers some bread, like just give me a heads up the morning they come. So sometimes I'd do that whole process and be bloated like a motherfucker and I didn't even get tested. I was pissed.
But at one point we knew that you can go in a drug program and still smoke. So we told them, and early in the league, we was like, man, I'm pissing dirty, just put him in the program. And you can stay in the, I stayed in the program damn near 3 seasons.
Undercover.
It wasn't no penalties there. They wasn't hip. You just, long as you in the program, you just got to pee a certain amount of times or something. Yeah. But it was.
Really?
Yeah. I stayed in that motherfucker for 3 years.
Us, if you in the program and you get popped, that's like 4 game suspension.
Oh, nah.
It's like, and it keeps getting worse.
Mm-mm. It probably worse than penalties, but Jack probably just maneuvered his way.
When I first got in the league, it was 1 drug test.
Yeah, like them. It was the preseason. Remember, they got the whole team, too.
Yes.
So we had weed in the car as soon as we got out of practice that day. That's how it used to be.
How did the turbulent relationship with the NFL impact your image, though? I know that kind of pissed you off.
Honestly, at the end of the day, it actually helped.
Mm-hmm.
It actually helped. I mean, I had to come back and, like, finish my career and like, earn that kind of respect and carry myself a certain way. But at the end of the day, it turns into, like, a redemption story. Mm-hmm. And it allows me now to tell a positive.
A platform, right?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
I was right the whole time.
Yeah.
Basically, straight up.
Yeah.
What was it like, real quick, I want to know, because my brother played with the Argonauts and went running Grey Cup. What was that experience like? Because that was the one thing. He was a receiver, and he said they used to just, that the treatment was low grade, just it was tough to really make it.
If you come from even, like, college in
the
States.
Get a taste of something.
And then you go to that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, like, our our like facility were trailers.
Right.
You know, damn. Trailers. We need like our on our team meeting room was just a trailer. But I will say, like, if you really are about the game, you know, then
right.
it like can bring you back to it.
Uh-huh.
And for me it did, like, because up there there's only a certain number of American players that can be on the team. So most of the American guys like stayed in the same area. So it was kind of like college.
Uh-huh.
And after practice, we just go play Madden.
And it was Toronto.
Yeah, and it was Toronto.
Right.
Yeah. So it was, I had a wonderful experience.
Did you?
Yeah.
Dope. Yeah, my brother said he loved it, but yeah. He's just like, as far as like the amenities football, yeah. And trying to keep your body on top of it,
yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah, it's even like the gear, you know, trying to get gloves and stuff. Yeah.
Like, it was tough. It's like, goddamn, I used to have to give this shit away, and exactly. Now I can't even get none.
Exactly.
When you initially stepped away from the game, you said you started traveling right away. Was there ever kind of like a null? Because I kind of feel like when people step away from something they've been accustomed to their whole life, there's kind of a little, did you ever hit the rut or you just kept moving?
I was going so hardcore just to like, because it was something that was building up. It wasn't mm-hmm. like it was something that was building up and I just knew I needed to like sow my royal oats or see the world. So I was on it. And that way I went on it and I got to this point where I was like, this is great, but for my life to really take off, I need to go back to the league and clear my name. And so it led me back, but I came back and the biggest difference was before I was kind of in this no man's land of like, what do I have to do to like keep this? And when I came back, it was more like, what can the NFL do for me?
Right.
And so I was just more intentional.
Did you get what you were looking for?
I got exactly what I cleared my name. I was able to walk away and with the platform intact that I now have access to.
So
yeah.
You recently launched Heisman. What are your hopes and visions in this cannabis space with that?
I mean, really a lot of this, of just
conversation.
These conversations.
Important, yeah.
You know, because like I'm hardcore and I'm saying like, because most people they say, you know, they'll talk about using cannabis, but then they'll have all their reasons. You know, I'm hurt or this or that. And I'm saying like more like this kind of conversation
right.
where people are talking about like, did you take your medicine today?
Mm-hmm.
No,
like, right.
Where it is, people feel comfortable saying, I need this.
Mm-hmm.
I need, because people say like, I need this for a lot of reasons. But when you're saying something, I need this because this makes me a better person.
Right.
I think, you know.
That changes everything.
Exactly.
That's the biggest statement you can make.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, I mean, I just think hearing the why, yeah. You know, this is why, but they've never heard athletes say why. It was always just a stigma. You're this, you're that, you're, you know, you're not focused. But when you actually hear the reasons why, you can't argue with it.
The crazy part though is like, this is what I noticed is I believe that too. So I thought I was doing something wrong. And so I took a step back and I said like, really, what is going on? And I was like, and it might sound crazy, but at that time, at least from my body's perspective, this was better for me than football.
Anything.
Like,
yeah. Talk to him. Real shit. I mean, I started smoking at 14, and I didn't really know. Obviously, I didn't need it for the pain at that time, but I had just had a tough upbringing. And I remember the first thing you said is it just calmed everything on the outside. Mm-hmm. And I knew when I smoked, it would take me there. So fast forward, you know, I'm 42 now. I've been smoking, you know, for more than half my life, but we can explain until we're blue in the face, but I think that the real breakthrough was when they started having medical research behind
yeah.
this. So now we're saying what we're saying is backed up by actual information. And I think obviously that's why it's moving the needle now, but we've been saying this, we just didn't have, like you said, the terminology, I guess, is what they needed.
And I think as more people that are successful in life come out and tell their story, I think that's going to drive even more.
Yeah.
It's going to change the research questions.
Yeah, you know? I agree. So speak to exactly, I mean, you have it pretty narrow focused on different, you know, aspects of the cannabis space. So speak to us about your brand and the names of each and why you decided to go this route.
Yeah, so like overall, you know, creating a brand, when I got into the cannabis space, like I saw it's like what people were calling a brand is you just create some like fancy packaging and then you convince people that yours is better than the next, and that's a
for
brand. And to me, I think I get it, and there are people doing a great job, but for me, if I'm going to do a brand, it's got to be like, it has to be part of me that I'm putting out there. And so I same thing I was saying like earlier about I had this experience of how cannabis actually helped me be a better football player and a better person. And so helping people make these connections. And one of the ways, simple ways we did that is through the naming convention of our flower. And instead of the more conventional sativa indica hybrid, we call the more sativa leaning strains pregame, the hybrids halftime, and then the indicas postgame. Right, so it's
you're a heavy indica.
Post-game. I'm post-game,
yeah.
Pre-game.
Yeah. You pre-game and post-game.
Exactly. And then we've been having fun with the different, like, strain names.
Okay.
Really trying to connect the genetics with our favorite athletes.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah,
I definitely want to check that out.
Yeah.
Traditionally, someone who was kind of private, but you really started to open up more with two docs on a TV game show, working on a biopic. Who you want to play you?
I feel like it's going to be some unknown person that
was. If there was a famous person, no. If there was a famous person to play you.
But see, it's tough because we have to go to that age range. And I don't really know that many actors in that age range.
So you're going to put someone on the map. I could take
that.
Yeah,
I'm going to put somebody on. Somebody's going to just blow us away in the screening.
Are you obviously more comfortable in the public eye now and just kind of freely out here kind of being yourself? Or is it still kind of, you just still kind of hold back a little bit?
Yeah, I'm out there now.
Okay.
I got to the point where I really...
Fuck it.
Yeah, I really don't care anymore.
It's me.
Yeah.
Take it or leave it.
Yeah, at a certain point in life, like, you realize... The young people need guidance, and if we're trying to pretend to be something else, that's not a good example.
That's a shitty way to live. I tell people, be you. The best you can be is you. Well, you try so hard at being somebody else. That's the hardest thing to do. Just be yourself.
Everyone else is already
and
taken.
And the people that's supposed to be in your life and that's supposed to support you and love you, they gonna be there regardless of who you are. Just be yourself.
Yeah, I had that same awareness when I left. Everybody thought I was crazy, but my experience was this is the happiest I ever been.
Mm.
And so I was like, people in my life that are happy that I'm happy, those are my people. People that have a problem with that.
Yeah. Writing's on the wall.
Yeah.
Well, man, we appreciate your time. We're going to come down to quick hitters, man. First thing to cross your mind, let us know. Who are some of the people in the cannabis space you look up to?
Right now, first person that comes to mind is Chris Ball.
Okay. Ball Family Farms. That's his folks.
Yeah, I mean, just like heart. Uh-huh. And just like the opportunity he has and what he's doing with it. You know, he talks about cultivating the culture.
Uh-huh.
And I think sometimes when I think about the industry, it makes me sad sometimes because it's becomes just about, like, starting to become just about the money. Mm-hmm. And what I love about what Chris is doing is really about the plant.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
We did a collab with him.
Yeah.
With Viola.
Shout out the Ball family.
And that flower, man. It's something special.
No, he's got some shit over there, yeah.
What's the longest time you spent meditating?
Like in one sitting, four hours probably.
Wow.
But that's not a lot. Like
That's not.
I got probably close to 30 minutes. Yeah.
But you fall asleep.
Nah, but you know, when I pray, you know, I pray. Yeah.
This was like a time I was up in the Himalayas, like just up there to meditate.
That's a long time.
So when you say it's not a long time, what is a long time to someone who is actually in the space and really?
Well, to me, people like, honestly, a good meditation is 5 minutes.
Okay.
It's just about centering yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because if someone needs to go out in the day, 5 minutes, you're centered. But if, you know, I was on retreat. I was, like, out for a couple of months, and I was trying to, like, go deeper into myself. Mm-hmm. And so it's like you sit for 5 minutes, and things, like, settle down to a certain level. But as you sit there, like, more stuff comes to the surface. You know, and then if you can sit there, then that settles. And then just the more time, it just gives you ability to just go.
So what do you, I'm someone that's kind of wanting to get, what are you actually focusing on while you try it? So if you say a five-minute meditation, things are coming to your mind. What do you do to kind of?
So the simplest technique and really what meditation is about is it doesn't really matter what the point of focus is.
Okay.
So when we're playing our sport or we're doing our thing, and we're in a zone, that's a meditation.
Okay.
Because meditation just means the nature of our mind, it just goes in all these different directions all the time. And meditation is just bringing bringing it back. It doesn't even matter what the point is. Some people use a mantra. Some people use their heart or their head. But it's just having, it could be a thought, an idea, a person. It's just having one thing that you can bring the mind back to. I mean, this is why sports, I think, especially at our level, it's so beneficial because it forces you to learn to meditate, right? Your mind wants to go, but you got a job to do. So the mind is trained to be focused on one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, like, we know how to meditate, you know? It's just, we just got to do something that, like, has our attention and the mind will focus.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all meditation is. It's training the mind when it goes here to bring it back here. And then once it gets trained, it stops wandering, it can sit in one place, and then it becomes more profound. You notice more things.
Mm. Are there any other things, psilocybin, mushrooms, anything in that psychedelic realm, so to speak, that you feel that can help people?
I think all of the psychedelics, because, and I consider cannabis a psychedelic. It's just mild, something you can do more on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the other psychedelics, they're more like when you got to flush your system out, right? You know? But I think that cannabis is more like that daily maintenance. And even the word psychedelic, it means soul revealing, right? Revealing ourselves to ourselves. Or another word they use is entheogen, is the God within. So I think all of these substances, it's the same thing as meditation. It's just getting your mind off the bullshit and just focusing on something that's like more real.
Five dinner guests, dead or alive.
So definitely Bob.
Yes, sir.
Definitely Pop.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like Jesus, Muhammad, and Rumi.
Who's that?
He was a mystic poet.
Pac talk about him.
Yeah, yeah.
Tupac talk about him.
Okay, yeah.
He was a poet.
Is it Rumi, Amatumi, something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
What artists do you currently have on rotation? And what genre of music best describes your running style? Two questions.
Ooh. So what I'm listening to right now is on repeat, I just have, is Damian Marley. Mm-hmm. I listen to all the Marleys a lot, but right now I've just been on Damian for a minute.
Jam rock.
Yeah. Yeah.
And your running style, what kind of music is that? That's a good one.
What, yeah.
I think, I came up in 90s West Coast hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's like smooth, and then it hits you.
Yeah, exactly. It's a motherfucker that it just.
We all know that. Yeah.
What's the first thing you do when you wake up, and the last thing you do before you go to sleep?
First thing I do when I wake up is I roll up, and then I pray.
And then you smoke after you pray.
And I smoke after I pray. I noticed this morning I rolled up. I rolled up first, and then I went upstairs. Some mornings I pray first, but this morning I rolled up, then I pray, then I smoke. Then I read, meditate, and before I go to bed, I'm always reading. I read and smoke until I fall asleep.
Mm. See, I pray, meditate, smoke every morning. Yeah. If you could see one person on our show, who would it be? But before you answer that, you have to help us get your answer on the show.
All right, Janae Aiko.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah.
And she smokes heavy too,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, exactly.
She burns.
Yes. Yes. Do you know her?
I don't.
but hey, we're going to put a call
Big
in
Sean.
Out
there.
Big Sean. Y'all both
Big
come.
Sean. We need both of y'all.
Yeah, both of y'all. Big Sean.
The both of you.
There's room for both y'all,
yes,
on the couch.
Sir.
Well, man, that's a wrap. Ricky, man, we appreciate your time. I'm glad we got a chance to talk to you, man. I've been a big fan of yours for a long time. Obviously, I'm a huge football fan, but again, you were before your time in the cannabis space.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're someone like myself, my brother Al Harrington, we really kind of took that Jackson and really kind of continued to push the narrative, man. But I feel like it really started with you, man.
Well, I appreciate what you guys are doing because we need it.
Definitely.
I'm a Texas boy, so I'm a different type of fan. So it's all good. Yeah. But we got something for you before you leave.
Oh, yeah. Man. I always forget.
We got our own merch. Y'all ain't getting this bag, but we got a bag for our boy Ricky. You can get it at allthesmoke.store.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? But here we go, bro.
Yeah, a little got parting gifts.
Thank you.
Sweatsuit.
Yeah.
So you can be fresh when you step out on and when you're rolling up.
Just don't ash on it.
I was going to say, that's the thing. I don't mind ash. I just don't like the burn holes.
Yeah, the burn holes. We fucking man, that's a wrap with our man, Ricky Williams. You can catch All the Smoke on Showtime Basketball YouTube and the iHeart platform, Black Effects. See y'all next week.
Peace.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, ah, yeah. Love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.